Now let's begin.
Listener, and welcome to Trek 1701, a Star Trek podcast. This is one of the Beta Crew episodes. It's a monthly podcast that we missed last month, but we're here this month. And we're back. And this is our Star Trek Fantasy Draft episode. But before we get into that, I'm going to go around the table and just introduce everyone. First up, we have Stephanie. How's it going, Stephanie?
Oh, we're right in the middle of spring break chaos like everybody else, but I'm glad I'm here.
Nice, nice. I don't really notice it as much because my daughter, she goes to a distance learning school, so she like does most of her stuff online anyway, so she's always around the house. I don't even notice the difference, to be honest.
That's fair.
But yeah, no, it's good that the kids get a break. Next up, we have Ray. How's it going, Ray?
It goes well. Happy to be here and looking forward to another session.
Excellent, excellent. And last but not least, we have Ragnar. How's it going, Ragnar?
Well, hello, everyone. It's going quite well. I actually was able to visit with Ray in person about, 3 weeks ago? Two or three weeks ago?
Nice. Something like that. It had been a while before we'd been a little bit there since we'd managed to catch up, so that was nice.
It's always nice to see your friends in person.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which means, Stephanie, I'm coming for you at some point.
Sounds good.
Excellent. Like I said at the top of the episode, it's been a couple months since we've done an episode. Unfortunately, last month in February, I don't know, it was just a crazy month, like, things are changing and getting everyone's schedules aligned. We ended up postponing for a month. But unfortunately, since our last recording, we had a loss of one of our beloved Star Trek actors. And I wish I had to put the date to this, but I didn't. But Gary Graham, who played Ambassador Saval on Star Trek Enterprise, passed away. Oh, January 22nd, he passed away. So yeah, he was Saval on 4 seasons of Enterprise. He was in the Axanar fan film that they did, playing Saval again. And I mean, he's been in a number of other projects. Probably the one I remember him most from was the short-lived Alien Nation TV series.
Oh man, I watched that.
Yeah, he was.
Didn't realize he was in that.
Yeah, he cool. was. He was the cop. He was the guy with the alien guy, the guy with the head.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Sorry. My mistake. I'm thinking. No, he was the human guy on that show. He was the human cop. The alien cop was also a guy that's been on Star Trek as a guest star. So my mistake, I apologize. But yes, he was on that show. That's how I first recognized him. So
cool.
When he showed up on Enterprise, cool. I was like, oh, that's cool. And I mean, I liked Saval. Like, you know, he was kind of a dick at the start of the show, but I mean, he had to be. And then by the end of it, you got to like him.
As far as the Vulcans treating humans went, Saval wasn't too bad.
Yeah.
He wasn't a complete dickhole the way some of the Vulcans are.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
He was just mostly a dickhole.
Yeah. were you there that year, Ragnar, when he was in Vulcan? I can't remember.
I think I was, but I don't think I got to go get an autograph.
Yeah, he was there the same year that Tony Todd was there. And
yeah, okay, I was Richard definitely
Hatch.
There then.
Yeah. Yeah, Richard Hatch was there as well. Unfortunately, I didn't get an autograph with Saval. I was only there for one day. So I got a picture with Richard Hatch, a picture with Tony Todd, and there was Catherine Hicks, who was from Star Trek IV. She was Jillian Taylor, Kirk's love interest in Star Trek IV.
So I got to
meet all of them, and then I saw Gary Graham, but I never did make it to his table, unfortunately, before I had to leave.
That's a bummer.
Yeah, well, and it's just one of those things again. In the number of conventions I've went to, I've always there's been a few celebrities where I'm like, I'll see them next time. Unfortunately, there is no next
time.
I
learned that lesson with Carrie Fisher.
Yes, me too.
She was at the Saskatoon Comic Expo. I did get an autograph, but I didn't go. My friend went and got one for me.
Yeah.
And I thought, okay, that's cool enough. Like, maybe I'll get to meet her some other day. And then it was, I think, only a few weeks after that, maybe a month or two, that she passed.
Yeah.
It wasn't very long after that convention.
Yeah.
And that's when I made the decision of, if there's a celebrity at a show that I really want to meet, go meet them, because there might not be a next time.
Yeah. And you actually imparted that.
Nobody expected Carrie Fisher to go. She was not terribly old. She was in okay health. It was very unexpected.
Oh, absolutely. But you actually imparted that wisdom to me when Shatner was in Edmonton the last time. Because I had already previously met him, but it was like 10 years ago when he was like 82. And now he was like, 81, and now he was like 91. So I was like, and you were like, maybe you should.
He's still going strong, but there is going to be a day when he's not around anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah. And, yeah, the Carrie Fisher thing, yeah, it was like a few months after I seen her at a table. But, I mean, she had like this huge crowd, and I was like, I'm just not feeling standing in line today for like 3 hours, so I'll just wait and get her next time. And then she was gone like 2 months later. Same with Adam West. I had an opportunity to meet Adam West, but unfortunately his photo op time was also the same time as Stan Lee, and I was like, well, who do I go see? So I went to Stan Lee because Stan Lee was older. I was playing the age game, right? And then Adam West like died a year later, and Stan came back like 2 years after that to Calgary. Yeah. So, you never know. But anyway, let's move on from this sad discussion. Unfortunately, Gary Graham passed away, and he was a great actor, and he will be missed. But let's move on to our Star Trek fantasy draft. So the premise of this is like a fantasy sports league, football, hockey, whatever you want. Like, we're gonna pick, we have six categories, and we're each gonna pick a character to fit that part of our crew that we're each building. We can't use the same characters. They have to be different characters. And at the end of it, once we have our crews filled, we'll see if we can, agree on who has the best crew. So I have an app on my phone, which is called Pick Me. It's one of those circular spin ones that you hit, and then it'll pick a person's name. So I've got my name on there, Stephanie's, Ragnar's, and Ray's. So I'll hit this.
I see what you're trying to make it more fair.
Yeah, so randomly we'll get to see.
Because we all want to pick either Art or Cisco, right?
Yeah, so this will randomly select who gets to go first for each pick, or for each category. And who goes second, who goes third, who goes fourth.
Okay.
So the first one is Captain. So I should preface, we're creating a skeleton crew. So this is six people that are going to run our ship for us for whatever mission we need them to do. So I am going to tap this now. And... oh, I'm going to tap it again. It picked me. It picked me, but I don't want to go first. And it picked me again. Oh, man. Because I just feel like...
it is rigged.
Man, three spins now? Oh, there we go.
Oh.
Stephanie. Stephanie, you get first pick. Who not is rigged. Your captain?
Yeah, suddenly it's not rigged now, huh?
Right? Sorry. I think it goes without saying. Have to pick Janeway. Do I have another option? I don't think I do.
All right, Captain Janeway. And yeah, if we want to make a comment about the characters and all that, I love Janeway. She's absolutely awesome.
We know I have a Janeway problem, so this is why it's like it goes without saying.
Excellent. No, it's a good problem to have. I think Janeway's an awesome choice. All right. Next spin. It picked Stephanie again, but I'll go with the person that it's closest to. That's how I'll change this up. I'll go with whoever's closest to. So the next person would be Ragnar. So Ragnar, who are you picking as your captain?
Oh, since it's a skeleton crew and we don't know what the mission is, I'm going to take Picard.
Okay.
Because I'm pretty confident Picard got out of more jams than anybody else, but I suppose that could be a whole podcast on its own.
Mm-hmm. He was, and I mean, he's one of the best pilots in Starfleet. That's one of the things that they kind of established in the show, like him and Riker.
Yeah, he's got a pretty good all-around, you know, set of base skills.
Yeah.
He can kind of do a little bit of everything.
And I will say, going back to Janeway, that she is a scientist. Like, she was a science officer that switched to command. So she is very smart in terms of sciences, and that's her strength, whereas Picard is more flight, like, because he's a pilot and stuff. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, Janeway is a kick-ass captain. I still haven't rewatched all of Voyager. I have the box set on disc. I'm going to get through it. But I'm quite excited too, because on its original run, I only saw the first season or two and I never saw the rest of the series, just the odd random episode. Mm-hmm. So I'm quite looking forward to going back through it as an adult and watching it. But yeah, Janeway's great. Yeah. Good choice, Stephanie.
Thank you. You also made a good choice.
Yeah. Great. Yeah. The next spin thank you. Is Chris.
Rigged.
You know, Picard was taken. And I should preface it, you can pick whoever you want for that role, but you know, if it's a weaker choice, then you might not win the overall you know, who has the best crew. I'm going with, I don't know who I should pick. I love Sisko. I do.
Oh, he's my favorite captain, hands down.
Yeah, I'm going to go with Captain Sisko. Yeah, I'll go with Sisko. Yeah, he's great, but I was kind of like, you know, like, because technically Spock could be a captain because he was the captain of the Enterprise at one point. Yeah. Or Riker. Yeah, like I was saying, Riker.
Couldn't you pick somebody like Sulu too?
You could, yeah, because I mean, he's the captain of the Excelsior. But I'm going with Sisko because I mean, he's, you know, all around a good captain, and he can kick ass. He will tell you when you've done something wrong. Like he will yell at you.
Benjamin Sisko. He will yell at you.
And yeah, he's good at getting out of jams. So, Ray, now it's your choice. Who are you going to pick as your captain?
Well, Sisko or Picard would have been my first picks. And I think these things definitely depend on the mission, because I think Picard and, like, Sisko are very different types of captains. Mm-hmm. Obviously, they've already been picked, but it's just trying to think of, like, if you want the Picard-style captain that really embodies the ideals, or the more Sisko, realistic, pragmatic, able to operate in more fraught, perhaps, territory that, like, Sisko exemplifies. I've got two kind of, like, sub-picks here. I was talking the other day with my husband, and about this, and it's a hard thing, and I think I'm going to go with Pike.
Okay.
Ooh. Just with the recent bit.
Now, which Pike? Strange New World Pike?
I think, well, yeah, the thing is, are they two different characters?
Kelvin Timeline Pike or original series Pike?
Well, and that's the thing, if we're split, like, technically, are they... Or do we, yeah.
Yeah, technically they're the same person, they just have different experiences. Technically.
Yeah.
You could argue that somewhat for Worf, too, with characterization between DS9 and TNG and whatnot.
Yeah.
But I think he's very, like Picard, he's a very kind of archetypal Star Trek captain, in that he really embodies those ideals. He really tries to listen to and trust his crew. Mm-hmm. I think having chosen him, I might choose someone a bit more less idealistic for first officer, but we'll see.
Excellent.
Yeah, I think I'm going to go with Pike.
So one that I was actually considering, and he's kind of a controversial choice, is Captain Jellicoe. A lot of people don't like him. But actually, like, when you look back at those episodes that he was in, yeah, he was kind of a dick, but he had to get the crew ready for potential war. And not only that, but at the end, he was right. Like, he knew what the Cardassians were doing. He was kind of going on a hunch. Everyone was against him, like, when he had that meeting. Like, the only one that wasn't, like, speaking out at him was Worf, because I think Worf liked him, because he's kind of like a Klingon captain that way. Like, he's, you know, business. And he was right. So, had Picard or Riker been in command of the Enterprise during that time, like, they might have started a war with the Cardassians. But Jellicoe was able to figure it out and prevent it. And save Picard. Again, we didn't really get to see the nice side of Jellicoe, because I don't think he's all business. I think he could be a good captain, but because he had to get this crew ready, he didn't have time to be a nice guy. So, anyway. The next category is First Officer. So, we will spin the wheel. And Ragnar gets first choice. Who's your first officer, wow. Ragnar?
All right. I'm actually going to pick number two. Wait, no. I got to think about this for a sec. Sorry. I had a plan, but now it's screwed up. I think I'm going to go with Spock.
Okay.
Got to have somebody from the original series. Spock's a hell of a second in command.
Oh yeah, super smart.
He's very science based, very, very smart, but he does have some human emotion and some human qualities. He's also pretty good at hand to hand combat if it comes to it. And I feel like him and Picard would actually be really fun to watch as a mashup.
Yeah, and they got history, you know. So
there is that.
Excellent. All right, next picker is Ray.
Okay, Major Kira.
Major nice. Kira.
Yeah, without a, yeah, Kira Nerys, without a second thought. I think having a more idealistic captain, she's very practical. She gets shit done. And I think there's just an argument for, like, picking people based on the kind of challenges they had to face as a good indicator of what they're able to deal with. And she had a lot to deal with. Like, I think that you can make an argument for, say, either the Voyager or the Enterprise crew having the least institutional support behind them. But Kira was in a real tough spot. She had a lot of challenges to deal with, and I think she can handle whatever you throw at her. So I think I want her backing Pike up.
I actually think her and Pike would make a really good team.
Mm-hmm.
They'd balance each other out really well. And I would definitely watch them go to town on each other.
Right? I don't know how you meant that, but yes.
Unlike Picard and Spock, I don't really want to see that one. But your captain and first officer? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, no, they would have, I think, somewhat of an antagonist. I mean, they would play off each other in an interesting way.
Oh, yeah, however, they'd heads a lot. They'd be good for each other.
Yes. And so I think I'm pretty happy with that choice.
Excellent. All right, next spin, and it is Stephanie.
I'm going to go with the original number one, Miss Una Chin Reilly.
Nice.
Yeah.
And that is actually number one, right? Like the...
Yeah.
But that's the name they gave her on Strange... I haven't watched Strange New Worlds other than the pilot episode.
Gotta go watch it, man.
Yeah.
I just finished watching season two, and I... you know, it's flawed. You could pick it all apart, but I liked it.
Exactly. Thank you.
There's so much to nitpick there, but just fundamentally, it feels like Star Trek in a way that
really
outside is. Of Lower Decks, like none of the new stuff really has felt.
It just feels so like Star Trek in a way that Discovery and even Picard didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, and
I like what they're doing with her character. I feel like her and Janeway would work well together in my little fantasy setup. Oh my god, yeah, like do not mess with those women. Like they will destroy.
If you got the two of them on the same page, you'd be fucked if you were up against them.
Yes, agree.
Excellent, and yeah, she's played by Rebecca Romijn, right?
Sure is.
Yes. Excellent. And the original one was Majel Barrett, who became Gene Roddenberry's wife. All right, so
and the voice of the computer.
And the voice of the computer. And Nurse Chapel. And the walks on a Troy. And I think that's it.
I think that's it. I think that's enough for one.
Those are the ones that we really care about.
Yeah.
She was trying to give Jeffrey Combs a run for his money.
Yep. So for my first officer... And I'm going back to, again, you know, me thinking about Jellicoe made me think about this pick. And I'm going with Data.
Nice.
You know, Jellicoe had, like one thing that always kind of bugged me about TNG, and I know Data had a lot to learn, but he's also, like, the smartest guy in any room, anywhere. You know, like, he literally has a data bank in his brain that he can access at any time. And Jellicoe utilized this. Like he was, you know, had Data following him around, like when he's getting the ship into shape, and it made total sense. Like you would want him with you because he knows how everything on the ship works, and he can help, you know, help you diagnose things and figure things out and so on and so forth. And then when he relieved Riker of his post, immediately put Data in as first officer, and it totally made sense. And then in the next season when the Gambit two-parter, and they had like Picard and Riker with those pirate guys, and Data was in command, like Data was good, like he owned it, and him and Worf had a serious conversation in the ready room. Because Worf was kind of disrespecting him, and, you know, and Worf was being his first officer, so Data had to give him a lesson on how to be a first officer, which made total sense. Yeah, I just think Data would be an excellent first officer, so that's why I picked him. All right, so the next category is Doctor. And Ray, you get first pick. Who is your Doctor?
I think, so, look, we all know that there's one, like, trait that makes the ideal Star Trek Doctor, right? One trait that's a good stand-in for everything they have to do. And that is just pure, like, surly bitchiness.
Mm-hmm.
And so, for me, I was tempted for both. I think I'm going to go for the EMH. I think I'm going to go for Voyager's nice. Doctor.
I had a feeling he was going to go first.
I mean, yep. he's an opera fan. He's got the entire, like, Starfleet medical knowledge yep. in his brain. I think he's, you know, he definitely, right? But yeah. he's not Bashir.
Yeah.
So, like, all the good points about Bashir except the, you know. I'm not a huge Bashir fan, honestly. But, no, and he's just... Also, you know, a doctor like engineer, you need to really live up to impossible demands on a time pressure, right?
Mm-hmm.
Fix something that can't be fixed or make 5 impossible vaccines in the next 10 minutes. And I think, you know, the image is pretty, it's going to have to be pretty calm under pressure and all that. He's not, you know, going to be as mercurial as some of the other ones, but still has that surly grouchiness. Yeah, he's my pick.
Excellent. He would have been my first pick, too. Because, yeah, I agree. He's literally a databank with the memory or the knowledge of thousands of doctors. So, yeah. Next one is Chris. All right. So, I am going to go with Dr. Bashir on this one. Because he is genetically enhanced, he is very smart, he can multitask, because, like, it, you know, again, I'm kind of thinking, like, the skeleton crew aspect of this, so, it, you know, theoretically, let's say, for this fantasy draft that they have to be able to, you know, fly a ship, like, let's say... the Enterprise D. We'll just use that as an example. Bashir could not only could he be a doctor who's very knowledgeable and very smart, like this guy, you know, genetically enhanced, all that, but he can multitask. We saw in the Defiant, there was, like, in the first episode that the Defiant was in, when the helmsman got killed, he took the helm, and he took over the weapon systems and was able to multitask. Like, he was able to do non-doctor stuff.
That's a good point.
So, yeah, like, I think, you know, but the EMH could also do that, too, because he's got that command protocol, right, where he can actually take command, so.
No, but like you're saying, like, if this is going to be a skeleton crew, choosing people for multiple roles is... very, like, good strategy, or someone who can do dual purpose
yep.
Tasks. And Bashir's, you know, as like you said, is genetically engineered. He's brilliant and presumably well past medical stuff. He's been tutored by, you know, Garak, more or less. Mm-hmm. Some of those things, that's got to rub off somehow in terms of just general multi-purposeness.
Mm-hmm.
And, because I haven't watched much Strange New Worlds, number one is also genetically engineered, right?
Yep.
I believe?
She is.
Okay. All right. So she also has that advantage that Bashir has.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the next pick is... Oh, got to spin again. It is Ragnar. Ragnar, who's your doctor?
I'm going to pick Dr. Phlox from Star Trek Enterprise. For two reasons, because he's one of the best characters on that show, and I want to have try to have a spread across all the different Star Treks as much as I can.
Mm-hmm.
But also because he's kind of goofy, and I think that, especially for the Doctor, that's a really good quality, considering some of the intensity of situations they'll be facing. Having somebody who can bring a little humor to that, I think, is a really good idea.
Mm-hmm. Especially on a skeleton crew, that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. Now, he's less great on a skeleton crew because he doesn't have a ton of other skills, although he's pretty clever. He's pretty capable. I think he could pull things out that would surprise you, things that you wouldn't expect from him. And he's a very curious person. And he's always kind of tinkering and experimenting, and I think those skills could definitely come in handy.
The thing about him, correct me if I'm wrong, but if I remember correctly, doesn't he need to like hibernate? Like for like a week or something, like out of a year.
Yeah.
Better hope
your mission doesn't time out during that period.
Yeah, so I mean, it does work to an advantage because he doesn't need sleep. Other than that,
yeah, the trade off is that he can be 24 hours for longer than most people.
Yeah, but then if your mission runs into that week or whatever. Stephanie, who's your choice for doctor?
Oh, well, I was thinking about Ray's bar. What was it? Surly?
I mean,
I know it was good. It was perfect.
Strictly speaking, it's maybe not entirely true, but for me, it's a good shorthand.
No, it is a good one. And I'm just thinking about other than the doctor, which one like really stands out for me. I think I got to go with Bones. Like, just amazing, and like I can go back and watch TOS, and it's like that stuff still holds up. So
yep
he's a very famous, very great doctor.
Yep.
And I gotta say, like, out of like, because I'm not a big fan of the J.J. Abrams movies, but Carl Urban as Bones was brilliant. He was so good.
Yep. His Bones was excellent.
It was very good, yes.
Although Carl Urban's pretty much always good, so.
Oh, yeah, he's fantastic.
He's been in plenty of bad movies, but his roles were good.
Agreed.
He's on my list of people I want to meet at a convention, for sure.
Oh, yeah. Anybody who's in Lord of the Rings is on my list.
Yeah.
Yep.
All right, so the next category is tactical/security officer. So we'll spin the wheel. And Ray, you get first pick.
Oh, wow. I'm feeling bad here. Because I have three that I think Worf and Shax, if we can take Lower Decks. But honestly, I think I'm going to go for Odo.
Excellent.
Nice.
I think on a skeleton crew, he'd be very good, very... Yeah, I think... I'm tempted to just go, like, out of Star Trek officially, and well, not officially, but, like, to go with Garak, but... that is also, depending on what the parameters are. Oh, this is a hard one.
I feel like that one could come back to bite you in the ass.
How could that go wrong? How could that go wrong? I was joking about this with my husband earlier today. Like, no, I'm going to pick Garak for the captain. That's what I want. I'm like, no. I want Garak as the first officer and Harry Kim as the captain. That's the show I want to watch.
I'd watch that.
Wouldn't you? I would. I think I'll just go with Odo. I think that's a good choice. I'm tempted for Worf, but I think I'll go with Odo.
Odo is good. He's good.
Odo is a very trustworthy person. Although he is definitely a stickler for the rules.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, especially in a skeleton crew, he could come in real handy. Unless, of course, things happen when he's in his liquid form.
Yeah, that is true.
Because humans can push off sleep for a while. He can't push that off very long.
That's true. It's every 18 hours, right?
I think humans can go longer without sleep than shapeshifters can.
Mm-hmm. But it depends on where Odo is. Because I think towards the end of the show, he didn't need to do that. He could take a shape for that time. I don't think he had to regenerate.
And I think he'd be good on away missions. He'd be good at...
He just couldn't hold a certain shape that long.
Yeah. But yeah, he would be good on missions. He could take different forms.
He can get into weird spots if you can't have someone go down these tubes and up that, shaft to get to whatever the mechanical problem is. So yeah, I think that I'm going to choose him.
And not only that, but he can pilot stuff. Like, he's piloted runabouts, and he can do ship stuff. Like, we've seen him on the Defiant, so.
Mm-hmm.
Excellent. All right, the wheel is spinning. Next choice is Chris. So this one's hard. I'm going with Tuvok.
Wow, I thought you were going to take Worf for sure.
He was a strong contender, but the thing with Tuvok, because I'm like in the mindset of like the crew and where who I could best utilize. Tuvok is old, so he was on the Excelsior. And then, 80-some years later, he's on Voyager. He's a good tactical officer. He's very smart. He's multi-talented. Like, he's went undercover. He can take command when he needs to. The thing with Worf, he's great and everything, but he can, he can be a handful sometimes. I just think Tuvok would just, be a little bit better fit, I think. All right, so next spin. And spinning again. Stephanie.
I feel like I need to clarify here. I don't necessarily have sound logic in why I'm picking the characters I'm picking.
That's fine.
I'm picking Jax because literally gifted me a mug recently. All it says is, I think we should eject the warp core. And therefore, I am picking Jax as my security officer because how could you not? Or no, sorry, I say we eject the warp core. There we go. Yes.
I think Shax is a great... I was tempted on Shax, too.
Right? As soon as you said it, I'm like, don't pick it.
Shax was my second choice, for sure.
Right.
I love how they've really... it's a very often aggressive role, and despite that, eject the warp core. They've really portrayed him as a very, caring... having a very caring culture under his command, which is very sweet, and I really like that.
Yeah, when he takes Boimler in, I'm like, oh my gosh, amazing. Anyways, just a very overall, as far as a cartoon character goes, pretty well-rounded, and, he's got experience, he's friends with Kira, I gotta go with Shax.
Yep, solid choice.
And Ragnar, your choice.
Well, I'm taking Worf.
All right.
I'm shocked that you went last and you got to pick Worf.
I thought for sure he'd be gone. That's why I had Shax as a backup. And then if Shax was gone too, I was going to take Tuvok.
Oh, okay. I was going to say. Yeah. No, they're all good choices.
I'm perfectly happy to take Worf. Yeah.
Excellent. The next one is Chief Engineer. And Ragnar, you get first choice.
Ooh, wow. That's intense.
Hmm.
I want to take Geordi, but that's getting too heavy on an Enterprise, like a next gen crew.
I mean, the next gen worked. I mean, they worked well together.
Yes, they of course do work well together. I think I'm going to take the blind guy Hammer from.
Nice.
I still had a little bit of problem in that time period buying him being able to do some of the things that they showed him doing, but he was an awesome character.
Mm-hmm.
And I really liked him, and he was very good at his job. He was very good at thinking on the fly. He definitely was able to do more than just be a chief of engineering, and he was quite grumpy about a lot of stuff.
Yep.
With a kind of a drier sense of humor.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yep. So that's my take.
I gotta say, like in the I watched the pilot episode, but I know I've watched maybe a couple more after that, and I really liked him. I thought he was an excellent character. So yeah, that was a good choice. All right. So spinning the wheel, and Ray, you have choice number two.
Ooh, this is one of the harder ones for me, honestly. Like,
It's a tough one.
It's a tough one, because, like, Scotty, Geordi.
Yeah.
O'Brien, I think, is a great case for O'Brien. It's just being the most, like, just show up, get the job done.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God, I really want to pick Geordi, but I'm thinking almost, I think, like, Blana Torres had a really, really difficult job.
Mm-hmm.
She had the least to work, like, just in terms of having anything available for repairs, in terms of, you know, working on much smaller, you know, going from the McKee to working on Voyager. It kills me not to pick Geordi, because he's who I think of first when I think of this, but I think I'm just going to pick B'Elanna.
Wow.
Oh, and I'm uncomfortable with that choice, honestly, but... No, I'm gonna. I have no TNG characters on here. Yeah, no. Okay, I'm gonna have to pick Geordi. I'm sorry.
All right.
I went back and forth.
Yeah.
This kills me.
Very deep.
Geordi's a pretty hard.
Out of you.
Geordi's pretty hard to not pick.
Yeah, and he's like, I have no TNG people, and that's like my Trek. And yeah, no, I can't not pick Geordi, even though I think B'Elanna's maybe the better choice. Going with my heart here.
All right. Yeah, like with the chief engineer position, you have to be good, right, at your job to even achieve that rank. So, you know, all these characters are excellent in their field, so it is a hard one. And it is Stephanie's choice.
I'm going to go with O'Brien.
Chief O'Brien.
I'm gonna pick you as B'Elanna.
I was like B'Elanna O'Brien. No, I gotta go with O'Brien, because again, like, you know, give the guy a piece of gum and he'll freaking fix the warp core. Like, seriously. Yeah. So I also just love just how his character got worked in overall throughout the series. Like,
yes.
He didn't even have a name. He was just the guy in the transporter room. And next thing you know, he just grows into this full character that everybody now just knows and loves. And yeah.
And they give him like so many hard hit, like really intense storylines relatively.
Yes.
And he suffers so much.
Oh, yeah.
And he always comes through.
Yeah.
So like in a really tough mission, you could count on him.
Absolutely.
Yep. Yeah, like, to be honest, for me, my...
Very dependable.
My top two choices were O'Brien and LaForge. So I'm gonna have to go with Scotty. And I should also preface, I should have said this at the beginning. All these characters, even though they're from different time periods, were... We are saying for the nature of this fantasy pool that they are on the same level. So Scotty can work on the Enterprise.
Yeah, because otherwise we're...
Yeah.
Q snapped his fingers. We're on some weird... Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. So, yeah, I'm going with Scotty. But, yeah, B'Elanna's also an excellent choice as well because, you know, she literally kept Voyager together. Like, she was great that way. And she proved herself because, like, Janeway didn't like her at the start, but she was the best choice for chief engineer.
Yes.
I also think she could probably do double duty as security if needed be.
She absolutely could.
Yeah. Yeah, she's definitely, she could kick some butt.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so we are on our final category, which is navigation / operations officer. So,
sorry to interrupt, Chris. Shouldn't we have a science officer, too? Shouldn't we each have 7?
Oh, did I miss the science officer? Yeah, we could do science officer. Sure. That'll be the last one.
Sure. Yeah.
So, yeah. So we got, okay, so we got 2 more after, or we got 2 more to go. So this one is navigation / operations officer. So, you know, thinking of the Enterprise D, you know, the top, the front two consoles, you're either, you know, navigation or operations, or you could do both. Yeah, so whoever you want to fly your ship and operate it. So spinning the wheel, and holy smokes, she's won the lottery. It's Rey again.
Rey, wow. Okay. My choice is going to change in case I win the lottery 3 again for science officer. I was going to say Dax, but I think I'm just going to, if we're doing science officer separately, I think I should, you know, I've got a lot of DS9 characters. I have nothing from the original series. I'm going to go with Uhura.
Well, one thing I will say, though, is if you're leaning towards Dax, you could use her for this category, and then she can't be used.
That's the thing. I'm tempted because I think Dax is a great multi-purpose character. She, mm-hmm. with the, her background and with the symbiote, like, she could fill in almost any role.
Oh,
so
yeah,
when I was looking at this, it's like, well, I don't know who to pick for this. Dax. Yeah, I'm really tempted by Dax.
She did pilot the Defiant because of her previous, which one was it? There was one that was a pilot who died piloting.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember.
Think, like, she could step in for tactical. I think mm-hmm. she could step in for first officer and captain.
Oh, yeah.
Probably anything else. Doctor and maybe engineer, but, like, she's got a good science background. Mm-hmm. That's a thing. I'm kind of just tempted to grab her as a, you know, skeleton crew. Oh, this is difficult. Oh. I'm just so DS9 heavy, though, already.
And there's nothing wrong with that. And the thing is, like I said, if you don't grab her now, she might not be available later.
Oh, you twisted my rubber arm. Fine. It's Dax.
All right.
I mean, she can go in pretty much anywhere, and I think she's great for that. Just on a skeleton crew. Yeah. Yeah, sure. I will.
All right.
You convinced me to, like, steal a good choice from you guys all.
Excellent.
I was going to go with the Europe, but you guys talked me into it.
Excellent. And I apologize, everyone, and to the listeners for my coughing. I'm still fighting a cold. I'm on the tail end of it, but every once in a while I can't help it, so I apologize. All right, so the next spin is Stephanie.
Can I say 7?
Yes. Yep.
Yes. Nice. Okay, 7.
Okay. Like,
how could you not?
Excellent.
I was going to pick her for science officer.
Right. So now I guess this is the... I'm debating, are we talking like Voyager 7 or Picard 7? I feel like both of those would be very good options.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah.
I'm just going to say 7 across the board, whichever version you envision.
Yep. No, she's a good choice.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Yep. Good choice.
Yep.
All right. Spinning the wheel, and I have the next pick. Navigation. You know what? I'm going to go with Sulu.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
Nice. That was going to be my choice.
Oh, was it? Oh, sorry, man.
No, that's all good. I have a backup.
Yeah, he's an excellent pilot, and
he can fence.
Yeah, he can fence and. Brave. But again, you know, speaking of you know, I'm think my train of thought is thinking of Skeleton Crew. So I mean, he can multitask. So yeah. And Ragnar, your choice, sir.
Well, I'll take Tom Paris.
I was thinking about him. Yep.
What about Liccardo? No, Ryan. No, don't go there.
You know, that always bugged me, you know, that he was essentially the same character. But
you have no idea how much I'm trying to not talk right now.
But apparently the reason why they changed his name is because if they had used that character, they would have had to pay that writer who wrote that episode. Because he technically created it. Yeah. So, like, yeah, when they actually were casting this role, they wanted someone who was a Robert Duncan McNeil type. Because that's who they had in mind. It had, you know, because they're thinking of Liccardo. And then Robert Duncan McNeil came in and read for it, and he's like, well, I'm a Robert Duncan McNeil type. and he got it. And the rest is history. And I'm glad he did, because I liked him. I like Tom Paris. He's great. All right. So next is our science officer category. So this is the last category. And holy smokes. I'm not making this up, guys. Ray. you need to go buy a lottery ticket. Like, as soon as you're done recording.
What? Okay. Damn it, who am I picking for this? I already picked Dax for my... okay, let's see. Spock's already been picked, right? Data's already been picked.
Yep. And, I mean, it could be anybody, like, honestly.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. You know, I might, just for sheer love of it, since if Shaq's gonna be picked. I'm gonna go with Tendi.
Tendi.
From Lower Decks.
Okay.
She'd be an alright science officer. Yeah.
I think so. She just exemplifies just that. So much about Star Trek is just that exuberance about going out there and doing science. And I just think she exemplifies that so well.
Excellent.
And also Data and Spock were already chosen and I got Dax, yes. So.
Excellent. All right, spinning the wheel, and almost a tie, but it goes to Ragnar. Ragnar, who are you picking?
Well, I'm gonna pick somebody from Star Trek Lower Decks. I'm gonna pick Boimler.
Boimler, okay. I haven't watched it, so I still need to watch it. But
he's the main character.
Oh,
He's basically Huey from The Boys, but in Star Trek.
And he's played by Huey from The Boys, right? By that. Yeah, excellent.
He's Federation to the core. He's very smart. And he always gets the job done, even if it's not the right way.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like that balances out, so I have people from all of the Star Treks.
Excellent.
So he wasn't my first pick, but I'm going to go with that.
Excellent. All right, spinning the wheel. Oh, it is my pick. I'm going to go with T'Pol.
Oh, nice choice.
Because she is a good science officer.
That was who I actually wanted to pick, but then I realized I didn't have anybody from Lower Decks on my crew.
No, that's fine. Yeah, she's a good science officer. I was kind of also, who else was I thinking of? T'Pol kind of just jumped out at me, but there was somebody else. No, I guess that's it. Because everyone, you know, Jadzia is taken. And TNG didn't really have a science officer. And Spock's taken. And 709's taken. So, yeah. All right, Stephanie, who are you picking as your science officer?
This is where I'm strong. Okay, one, can you still hear me? I was having some audio technical issues here.
Yep. You're coming in loud and clear. Good.
Now that I've admitted to that on recording. I'm stuck. Help me. Who's left at this point even?
Well, let's see here. I was thinking, like, I mean, you could go with Wesley Crusher.
That's kind of what I was kind of almost thinking that direction.
Yeah, because he, you know, he did do science fair stuff, and I mean, he was smart that way.
Right.
Let me think here.
And that would be good. I was almost going to say... I was actually going to go with T'Pol, so thanks for that. No. that, or I almost want to see somebody like Icheb. I don't know if that's too much of a stretch, though.
Nope.
If
you want to use Icheb, that's fine.
Yeah, I think that would be, like, I'm going to block out his demise in the end, but anyways, part is, like, he was just like a good kid, just wanted to learn, was smart, like just absorbed everything, and an amazing problem solver. So yeah, I feel like that would be a pretty good person to have in that science officer chair.
You know who else you could have considered?
Hmm.
Dog.
Oh. Yeah. Also for a lot of those same reasons, yeah.
Yeah.
I that was probably the thing that turned me off from Star Trek Picard, was what they did to each other.
Yeah. It was just like, why?
Why? And why show it so brutally? Like, it was like I was watching a Saw movie.
Mm-hmm. Like, yeah.
But anyway, I totally despised what they did there. But all right. So, just to break down some stuff. So, Ray had... 4 first choices. Ragnar had 2. Stephanie had 1. And I had none. And just to...
You have a really, really strong team, though, for, like, not having any first choices.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. It worked out good. So going around the table. So my team is Captain Sisko, Data, Dr. Bashir, Tuvok, Scotty, Sulu, and T'Pol.
Jesus, that's a pretty friggin' powerful team.
Yep.
Right.
Ragnar's is Captain Picard, Spock, Dr. Phlox, Worf, Hymer. Is that how you say his name? I can't remember.
They say it Hammer.
Hammer.
Hammer? Okay. Hammer, Tom Paris, and Boimler? Boimler.
Yep.
You need to watch Lower Decks.
I know, I do.
It's so good.
I'm so behind on so many things, but
right.
And then Stephanie has Captain Janeway. I wrote down number 1 because I can't remember her real name. Dr.
McCoy. Right?
Yeah, Dr. McCoy. Shax from Lower Decks. Chief O'Brien, 709, and Icheb. And Ray has Captain Pike, Major Kira, the EMH, Odo, Jadzia Dax, Geordi LaForge as well, and Tendi from Lower Decks. Who do we think has the better
Bad team. Everyone has a great team.
Ray's got the sexiest team.
Oh, that I absolutely. There are rife fan fiction opportunities for my team.
Let's fire the best fan fiction.
Yeah, it's the skeleton crew. They're, you know, stuck all there with each other. There's all sorts of avenues for scientific inquiry.
Right.
So, Ray, who do you think has the better crew?
Oh.
And I mean, and you can pick yourself if you want.
No, I mean, so both Picard, Spock, and Cisco Data are like just powerhouse combinations, I think, for both of you guys. I think, like, if we're looking at like the captain and first officer, I think maybe Chris, you do. I think Stephanie has the strongest overall team, honestly. Like, yeah, I think that would just be a really good practical mix.
Mm-hmm.
Well, but there's no wrong, like, they're all such strong teams.
I think everybody picked a pretty solid team.
I mean,
all things considered,
you've got Picard, Spock, and Worf just like right there, Ragnar. Like, that's
yeah
we're pretty solid.
Yeah,
it almost doesn't matter who you have past that.
So who do you vote for, Ray?
Oh, this is difficult. This is the worst, like the most difficult choice.
Maybe before we vote, we should come up with a really basic scenario that this crew's going to have to face.
That's a good
one. That would have been the thing to do in advance.
Yeah, I didn't really think of that. Yeah, no. Like, let's not go there, because then that might have affected our choices, right?
Well, okay, sure.
Yeah.
I think Stephanie has the best all-around team, despite that I think that Chris and Ragnar got a lot of the, like, superstars there.
Mm-hmm.
All right, so your vote is Stephanie?
I think so, yeah.
Thank you.
And Stephanie, who do you vote for?
Oh, well, I don't want to vote for myself because that's just not how I operate. I'm gonna say Ragnar's team would be pretty good.
Oh, thank you.
You're welcome.
And Ragnar, who do you vote for?
Oh, I'm gonna pick Ray's team because I would bang most of them.
Chris announced his criteria. I had Jadzia. He was always going, and yeah, Kira.
Yeah, exactly.
If we're gonna
and Odo, come on now.
I want to be surrounded by babes.
And 10, like, yeah.
As much as I would like to vote for myself, I'm not going to because I'm kind of the tiebreaker now. And what Ray was pointing out with in regards to Stephanie's choices, I kind of agree with her. You know, all around, I think Stephanie's got the more balanced crew that could pretty much handle anything that comes their way. I think most of our crews are that way, but yeah, I would, if I had to pick out of the four, I would probably pick Stephanie's.
Aw, well, thanks, guys.
So even though you only got to pick once, or first once, you won the fantasy draft.
Awesome. So what do I win after all of this?
I don't know. I didn't think of that either. but I'm thinking maybe in a few months, maybe like at some point this year, let's do another fantasy draft, but with guest stars.
Ooh, I like that.
Yes.
So it'd be like the same criteria. You know, you need a captain, you need, you know, your first officer, your science officer, the same roles, but just filled with guest stars. So nobody that is on the main, you know, like the main cast. So for this one, like each Ebb would have, could be on there. Well, if you're going with the original series, technically number one could be on there because she wasn't listed in the main cast originally.
No, that's true.
And neither was Sulu.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, like there's.
Well, but Sulu becomes main cast.
Yeah, in the
I
movies.
I would argue against that one.
Yeah, but I'm just thinking like the like opening
number
credits.
Number one though, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, I'm just thinking.
I think you could pick Captain Pike if you wanted.
Well, he was on the opening one though, right? Because Jeffrey Hunter. So yeah, the next time we do fantasy draft, it will be guest stars filling these roles, and yeah, maybe I'll come up with a scenario next time.
Can we make a whole crew of just Jeffrey Combs?
Well, if it's the different characters, yeah, you could theoretically.
I will start planning that now.
Because actually, like, I was thinking of Shran for some of these roles, because he is good, like, yeah. That way.
He could have pulled off some of these.
And, you know, like, one of the rumors that I heard following the cancellation of Enterprise was they were actually going to make him a series regular for season 5.
I heard that, too, yeah.
And that, bummer. Yeah, that just breaks my heart. You know, like, he would have been amazing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having him join the crew. Like, yeah. But, anywho. All right, well, I believe we could call this an episode. Our next episode, we're going to be talking about the Orville Season 1. And that'll be in April. You know, barring any unforeseen scheduling conflicts. That's what we're shooting for.
Excited. I can't wait to talk about the Orville in greater depth.
So excited.
And then,
plus,
yeah.
That gives Chris time to get caught up on Lower Decks so we can talk about that after Orville.
Yeah.
I got to get caught up on the Bad Batch and Invincible, and they did a new season of Masters of the Universe, plus I haven't watched Reacher yet. So many.
We've been watching the new X-Men with our kids.
Oh, that's another one.
Loving it. Yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's fantastic.
I haven't watched that yet, and I'm disappointed in myself.
Yeah, like, well, there's so much out there. Like, it's hard to watch. And then like I've been watching the Oilers because I'm an Oilers fan, and then it's been spring training with Major League Baseball, so I've been watching that too. So
mm-hmm.
Yeah. Man, it's tough being me sometimes. But anywho, we will do the fantasy guest stars episode. I'm thinking, yeah, later in the year, like in the summer or something like that. I think that'd be a fun one to do.
That sounds good. Yeah.
But before we go, let's play that little game of where we can find you on the internet. For myself, you can find me here at the Pop Culture Pub Podcast Network. We have a new episode of Geek Fallout Reloaded planned for next week. So hopefully that will be good and no issues there. And yeah, and you can check out my blog at randomnerdness.blogspot.com. Ray, where can we find you?
Mostly just here. Pretty boring in that way.
Excellent. Nope, there's nothing wrong with that. I just throw it out to everyone just in case there's something that they wanted to plug or you know, just in case.
Oh, yeah, for sure. But no, I'm not overly out and about on the internet. So, yeah, here's a good spot. It's nice and comfy and cozy.
Excellent. Stephanie, where can we find you?
Yeah, a couple different places. So, of course, my group, The Bean Counter, Edmonton's Coffee Connection, if you want to learn about all things local Edmonton coffee. My other plug is when I'm not doing that, I'm actually playing with Edmonton's Mill Creek Colliery Band, and we are doing a space tribute concert on May the 4th. Da-da-da-da. So make sure
to check that out. Wow, that's fantastic.
Yep, millcreekbrass.ca. Check it out. We've got, spoiler alert, we're playing DS9.
Ooh, cool.
We've got Doctor Who. A couple of my bandmates have actually arranged some Star Wars music for us as well. Apollo 13 also made the cut. And yeah, it is going to be pretty out of this world. Da, 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 da.
Nice. And that's a Saturday night too. So that, yeah.
It is. Yes. The stars aligned. I mean, what? Okay, I'm done.
Oh, that's really cool. That's awesome.
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah. And yeah, I've been meaning to check out the Bean Counter because, I just recently got my coffee maker. Because I have a Keurig, but I wanted the old, drip coffee maker. But now I got to get into like grinding beans and all that kind of stuff. Cause yeah, I love coffee.
Yes.
It's my new passion.
I will show you the way. Don't worry.
The Bean Counter group is pretty great, Chris. And it definitely makes me like drool and crave the coffees that are featured.
Thank you. This awesome. Is what I'm looking for. I appreciate this. Yes.
Yeah. Oh, I used to be a beer. I used to be a beer guy.
Totally like coffee. Check it out.
Yeah, I used to be a beer guy, but
me, am I a beer guy?
I used to be a beer guy, but I quit drinking 2 years ago. So, I quit for my dad because my dad was having health issues with related to his drinking, and he needed someone to quit with him. So I did. And unfortunately, my dad passed away. He did fall off the wagon, but I stuck with it because in honor of my dad. Mm-hmm. So I've been looking at coffee as like that alternative for, because, there's some great coffee out there. It's just a matter of finding it and enjoying it.
Absolutely.
So my passion, and I used to love like dark beers and all that kind of stuff. So my passion for beer has transitioned to passion for coffee. So that's what, definitely want to check that out. And Ragnar, where can we find you, sir?
Right now I'm on Facebook as Ragnar the Trader, or ragnarthetrader.com is my website, which is woefully neglected, but it does exist. And I'm about to enter show season. So I have shows in Edmonton, Saskatoon, Calgary, Prince George, Lloydminster, and Regina all coming up in the next 2 months.
Awesome.
So you're somewhere in Western Canada, your odds of seeing me are pretty high.
Excellent. And I've seen that you're busy getting prepared. So that's really cool. Lots of good stuff there.
Yeah. We're entering crunch season. Spring is like this.
I gotta say, it amazes. Like, as I seen pictures of one of your more recent shows, it amazes. At the Beer Fest, right in Edmonton. And I'm just amazed at how much stuff you have. It was just amazing. I'm like, whoa. And variety. Like, I mean, I'm amazed whenever I see it, of course, like in person. But just, I don't know. It just seemed like there was so much that you had there, and it looked good.
Well, thank you very much. I actually left a whole bunch of stuff behind. At Beer Fest, I didn't bring any of my new taxidermy, and I didn't bring any weapons. Because, drunk people.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Well, yeah. And
swords and helmets and shields would probably be very popular with that crowd. But.
Yeah.
I feel like it's a terrible idea.
But you were saying you went to a show not too long ago where there was, like, taxidermy guys there, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I took a vacation down to Phoenix.
Oh, that's right.
And I went to the Oddities and Curiosity Expo that was there. And that's a trade show that travels across the states. They do about 20 or 30 of them every year. There is a Toronto date, but like Toronto and Phoenix are the same distance from me.
Mm. Right.
Phoenix is a lot more exciting to visit,
oh,
to
yeah.
my way of thinking, than Toronto is. So yeah, I went down there to do some market research and kind of check out the show and get some inspiration. I also bought a whole pile of stuff to resell and a bunch of, like, I bought a bunch of exotic horns to make stuff out of. I bought a bunch of skulls and bones to make stuff out of, and I bought a whole bunch of taxidermied alligator heads to resell, including a jumbo one that's like probably off a 12 or 14 foot gator, and that one I kept for myself, and it takes up the entire top of one of my bookshelves.
Wow.
Nice. Wow. A lot.
Yeah, he's huge. I named him Cletus.
That's cool.
It was really fun. And it was a really cool show. And Phoenix was also a very nice place to visit in March.
Mm-hmm. Well, and like you were saying there, mm-hmm. like going to Phoenix versus going to Toronto, like for people who don't know, like a trip to Toronto from Western Canada is a long and boring drive. Whereas if you go south, yep. there's way more to see if you're going down south. And of course the weather's going to yeah. be better.
Yeah, I've driven to Niagara Falls, so that's a little bit past Toronto.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
And I've now driven all the way down to Phoenix, and I would drive to Phoenix again in a heartbeat before I would drive to Toronto. The drive to Toronto is really boring.
Yeah.
It's scenic, but the scenery is exactly the same for like 3 days.
Yeah.
It's like rocks, lakes, and trees.
Well, I've heard
Phoenix, you get to go through. Well, you get to go through mountains, you get to go through desert, yeah. you get to go through forest. You get a bit of everything on that drive.
Mm-hmm. And I've heard people like that do the drive from like Western Canada to Eastern Canada, that they'll actually drive down into the States to get there, because it
yeah
you can shave a yeah, day. I think you can shave about a day off if yeah. you do that.
Yeah. Mm. And there's just way more yeah. for you to see and way more things open to you than that drive.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's, I don't know. I don't want to be all like Toronto sucks.
No.
Not actually spent time in Toronto, but the Trans-Canada across Ontario sucks.
Yeah.
And it's one of my least favorite drives that I've ever done, and I've done a lot of different drives.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
There's nothing interesting to stop at along the way, and it takes so long to get through Ontario that you start to wonder if you're ever going to actually get there.
Yeah. Yeah, no, if I was, yeah, not knocking Toronto or Eastern Canada at all. But yeah, if I was going to go to Toronto, I would fly. I would, there's no way I'd drive.
Yep. Yeah. I hate flying, and I would absolutely fly to Toronto before I would drive there again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. But driving to Phoenix was cool. There was lots to do on the way down. I went to a bunch of oddity stores. I went to a bunch of antique malls. I ate all sorts of delicious, definitely not healthy food.
Yep.
And the scenery was very interesting. And then being in Phoenix for 5 days and having a car meant like I could go everywhere and do everything that I wanted to. So that was really cool.
Yeah. No, that's awesome.
No, it was great. Yep.
Yeah, totally.
Fantastic. All right. Well, I think we could call this an episode. So on behalf of myself, Chris Lockhart, and Ragnar, and Stephanie, and Ray, I want to thank you, dear listener, for taking the time to listen to us talk about our Star Trek Fantasy Draft. And we will see you again in April.